read the scripture today from Acts 28. Paul is in Rome. 3 days after Paul's arrival, he called together the local Jewish leaders. He said to them, "Brothers, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Roman government, even though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors. The Romans tried me and wanted to release me because they found no cause for the death sentence. But when the Jewish leaders protested the decision, I felt it necessary to appeal to Caesar, even though I had no desire to press charges against my own people. So I asked you to come here today so that we could get acquainted, and so I could explain to you that I am bound with this chain because I believe that the hope of Israel, the Messiah, has already come." They replied, "We have had no letters from Judea or reports against you from anyone who has come here. But we want to hear what you believe. For the only thing we know about this movement is that it is denounced everywhere." So a time was set, and on that day a large number of people came to Paul's lodging. He explained and testified about the kingdom of God and tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. Using the law of Moses and the books of the prophets, he spoke to them from morning till evening. Some were persuaded by the things he said, but others did not believe. And after they'd argued back and forth amongst themselves, they left with this final word from Paul: "The Holy Spirit was right when he said to your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them.' So I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it." And for the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. Amen.
Thank you very much, Rob. We'll move back up here. It's not common practice for our church to do Bible reading before the sermon. Now, often we dig straight into it, but I grew up in a church where that would be what we did every single week. So I'm sure this church at some stage did it, and then we shifted. We have different practices at different times, and there's nothing wrong with changing it up every now and then, and nothing wrong with changing different things. So, as we get to this passage today, I'm going to pray and we're going to get into it. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can gather as your church, hear the scriptures read out, and understand a little bit more depth of these scriptures. Lord, I understand how that applies to what we're experiencing today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, open our hearts. Help us to hear what you have for us today. Amen. Amen. Now, there's a phrase in the Bible that often comes up. You may have glossed over it, but it's this idea of people hardening their heart. One of the most well-known ones is the Pharaoh, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart and he didn't release the Israelites to go and worship God. But it's often found in other areas where people turn their hearts away from God, or they harden their hearts and they were unable to hear what God has for them. It's often referred to Israelites' enemies that God hardened their hearts as they turned away from God. But it's also sometimes inferred with God's people as well. Now, a few months ago, I was having a conversation with a previous church leader in our area. He doesn't come to our church, but as we were talking and we met together, he was really lamenting and the fact of how little the church does now. He recalls a time where the church, you know, you'd almost be at church events every single night of the week. Some of you may have experienced this. Those older in our generation would have experienced this level of church life. You know, where you'd be part of church events, there'd be church sing-alongs every night, you know, Bible studies, there'd be church tennis that you'd go to, different church sporting events and different gatherings amongst the area. And this was quite common in various regions and areas, but probably not in the last 20 to 30 years. I've grown up in a church in the last 20 to 30 years where that is not common. But some of us who were older, that was what you experienced. And so as I met with this church leader, this was his experience of church. And he was kind of going, it's sad to see that the church doesn't do that now. I'm not sure if it is. You know, I never knew upgrowing this, and I love being part of the church and the different events that we do as a church. And I see that we do various things. But there's different experiences that we've each had of church. But there's been major shifts that we need to recognize in the last 20 to 30 years. 30 years ago, 74% of Australia declared that they were a Christian. 74%. Currently, we're at 42%, which is a growth in the amount of Christians that have come to know Jesus, but it's less in terms of percentage of the population that currently live in Australia. Then there's going to be major shifts in that. It's not the same as it was 30 years ago. It's not the same as it was 20 years ago. But as I'm part of the church, I'm encouraged to see what we did. So our passage today, which I got Rob to read out a large portion of it, I'm going to focus near the end part of it, but the first part provides that good amount of context. Here we end the nearing of Paul's ministry. Acts chapter 28, it's the nearing the end. He's arrested and he's head off to Rome. And nearing the end of Paul's life, it's about 25 to 30 years since Jesus died and rose again. The church has been active for about 25 to 30 years at this time. And the church has had to deal with and work through significant shifts in the culture. Now, God's people for so many years were the Israelites. They were looking forward to this Messiah that was coming. They were looking forward to it. They had temple worship and they continued to offer sacrifices. And so when Jesus came, he marked a major shift in his people. And there's a lot of Jewish leaders, even at this time, 25 to 30 years later, that are still wrestling with this. Maybe not recognizing that Jesus, in fact, is the Messiah, is the Savior that they have been waiting for their entire life, that the Israelites have been waiting for thousands of years. And so this is where we are, 30 years after Jesus left the earth. Around about AD 60, 62, we generally find this period. And the Jewish leaders, there's still very many of them, speak of this Christian movement as something that is looked down on in the area. Now this place where they are in Rome is a significant distance from Jerusalem. And so they're maybe not hearing everything that's happening with Christians, but they do know, as you hear, that this following Jesus and that Jesus is the Messiah, this movement which was referred to as the Way, is what they think, garbage. That's not what it means to worship God. That's not the Savior. And so for them to actually open their hearts and receive that Jesus, in fact, is the Messiah, from Paul, it's going to cause them a significant change. They're going to have to change a significant amount of their practices, of what they've known of worshiping God. It's going to have to cause them a major shift in their heart, and that's difficult. When you've grown up doing various practices and that becomes part of how you worship God, it is difficult to accept changes. It's difficult to accept different ways to worship God. And this is a significant one that the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people had to deal with at this time. But what I'm encouraged as I read this and as I look at this is going, just like they had major shifts in how they worship God and be God's people in this time, we have also experienced the same in the last 25 to 30 years. Major shifts in how we worship God and be His church. And so there's various things that we can learn through this time. So what happened here? So Paul arrives in Rome. This is something that we know that he's been looking forward to. Yeah, it almost shifts this change of, he's almost fulfilling the Great Commission of going to the ends of the earth. You know, he'd be excited about this idea, Rome being this major hub where if he could declare the gospel and the church in Rome could be strong, that they would be able to reach this other area of the world, and they could hear that Jesus is the Messiah. So he'd be anticipating this, he'd be excited about this interaction, seeing it as very important. And you can see that here, that he came and he met with the Jewish leaders and he made sure that he dedicated a significant portion of time to share about the scriptures. It speaks there that he spent all day explaining that this is how it worked. This is where Jesus comes in. From the very beginning, this is how it worked. And he would have unpacked the very story all the way, explaining to them through their scriptures, through the Old Testament, the prophets, how they pointed to Jesus. The kings, how they pointed to Jesus. The Genesis, how that pointed to Jesus. How all this has been pointing to Jesus. He would have explained that and continued to persuade them. Now, they were open to hearing what Paul had to say, which is exciting. They were open to hear what Paul had to say. But it says, as it got near the end of the day, some were persuaded. Some went, that's correct. I can see that. But some weren't. Others, even though it had been explained to them, even though it had been broken down to them, they still did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They still did not believe. And so, I don't know if Paul was cheeky at this point, or God instructed them, but he finishes with this these prophetic words. Now, these are the prophetic words that come from Isaiah 6. Now, it's God speaking into this Babylonian exile period. It's God kind of going that, you are going to be sent off into exile. That's what this section is here. And so he doesn't declare it. He doesn't just kind of go, if you don't hear, you're not going to receive salvation and you wouldn't fulfill it. No, he uses the prophet Isaiah, who's significant in the Jewish faith, who's significant in our faith. And he declares those very same words over those who didn't hear, over those who were not persuaded by his words. And this is what he said. Now, most of the translations here have, as you go back to Isaiah 6, you'll notice that it's different than what's recorded in the New Testament. This is because the New Testament was written in Greek. So as we read that, so Paul, or Luke actually here, has recorded the Greek translation of Isaiah not the Hebrew translation, which we have in the Old Testament. So you notice it's slightly different. But this is what it said. So he says, the Holy Spirit was right. Yeah. So he's not saying, you know, it's not me. This is the Holy Spirit. Like, you better listen. When he said to your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet, go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me, and let me heal them. They're the words that he repeats to them. Essentially, what he is saying is that doesn't matter what I say, even though you hear it, you just won't ever understand it. So he's got up, he's spoken for the entire day, and he just says, well, you're not even going to understand what I say anyway. And so just go off. And with the clincher at the end is that the Gentiles will accept this message. The Gentiles will receive this message about the Savior. And that would have just, burned their cogs or whatever the phrase is. That would have riled them right up. Doesn't say there was a riot at the end there, but I'm sure there was a bit of a commotion. But he goes on. So you hear, but you will never understand. That even though you see, you will never perceive it. That your heart has grown dull. That your heart has been hardened. That's harsh words. If they understood the scriptures, as I said, God said this to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. This is the same Pharaoh that oppressed the Israelite people, that forced them into slavery, that his heart was hardened. And he's saying this to the Jewish leaders, that your heart is hardened, that you can barely hear, that your eyes have been closed, that even though you see, even though you hear, you will not understand, and God will not turn and heal you. That's harsh. That's very harsh. Now, I'm a visual person, you know, with my various props over the time. Essentially, this is what he's saying. That even though you see, so they're not blind, but essentially he's saying that you're blind. Because you can't even perceive you can't even see what we're saying. So essentially you're blind. Now I've got to find where my pulpit is. I completely lost it. Isn't it hard to walk around when you're blind? That even though you hear it, you can't perceive it. So essentially he's kind of saying to the Jewish leaders, that you might as well just be walking around blind because you can't even see what God is doing. That you might as well be walking around deaf because you can't even hear or understand what God is doing. That you should be blind or deaf because you can't even understand or perceive what's happening around you. That's harsh words. These are the Jewish leaders. These are the people that were meant to understand who God was, understand what he's about. Now, I didn't want to walk around too much because I'd clearly fall off the stage. But, he's saying you're blind. You can't hear. That your heart has become hardened. Now, wasn't the fact that they were physically blind. Wasn't the fact that they physically couldn't hear. It was that they couldn't do it through their heart. That their heart was hardened, that they couldn't use these other spiritual senses. A lot of things we do as a believer that even though it doesn't seem practically possible, it doesn't seem like it should work, we understand it through an emotional heart level. That we hear God through our heart, not often through our head, because some things we do just doesn't make sense. But we understand it through our heart. We hear that God is doing. We perceive what God is doing. There's an emotional level, there's a spiritual heart-led level that we connect with God. And what Paul is saying is that you don't have this to these leaders. That you are not understanding these things through your heart. I draw back to that church leader I spoke about before, lamenting the fact that the church isn't active, that the church isn't doing what it has done in the past. At some point in time, he missed what God is doing. Some point in time, he hardened his heart to what God was doing through the church. Because as I look and as I look around, I see the church active. I see the church working in our community. I see various other church communities working together in unity, sharing about the gospel of Jesus, being the salt and light in the world as we are called to be. I see and hear people sharing about their faith and about the hope, just like Paul did, the hope of Jesus to their friends and family. I see the church active. I hear about it. We are the church. The church practices often change. But we need to be open to what God is doing in this season. We need to be open to the way God is moving. If we harden our hearts, if we turn our hearts away from God, we're not open and we can't celebrate with the great things that God is doing now. I'm encouraged by this church that our hearts aren't hardened. So don't see this as a message that you need to soften your heart. Because I see this church is open. They're open to try new things. Open to see different ways that God is moving in our community. Different ways we can reach young people, old people. Different ways in which we can share the gospel with our friends and family. And we need that because the culture around us has changed in the last 20 to 30 years. Sorry. If we're going to be effective in being salt and light, we must change. We must change some of our methods. But what's amazing in that is that God is the same. That even though the culture is changing, even though what we do changes as the church, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The message that we have for people is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But things change. I was hearing an evangelist speak a couple of weeks ago, and he, being older, had the privilege to go to one of Billy Graham's last crusades and last events here in, I think it was down in Sydney that he catched it. And so it was about 30 years ago that Billy Graham had this last crusade. And some of you may have been part of the crusades or at least heard the stories about what they were. And he shares that at the end, as Billy Graham does the altar call, he says, the buses will wait for you to respond. The buses will wait. Now, some of us may think is that he has some power over these council buses and they'll just wait and the whole city will stop. But what in fact was happening at the church of the time is that you were already part of a church group, that all these buses were church buses. So that if you were at this event, you were probably part of a church soccer team, you were probably part of some level church community group already, that the church brought you to this event. You didn't come on a council bus, you didn't catch any transport, you didn't make it way there yourself. You came because you were already connected with a church community. The people in this level of church, they already had a foundation of understanding what the gospel is. They'd already heard a narrative either in Sunday school or they'd already heard a narrative of what the gospel was about. And so Billy Graham only had the job of going, you need to make a decision now. He didn't have to build a foundation of this is who Jesus is, this is what it is. He didn't have to spend the whole day kind of explaining it. He just said, it's time to make a decision now. Fast forward 30 years now, most of our community don't have that foundation. Most of our community aren't part of a church event. They're part of various community events and other events that aren't connected with the church. And so if we were going to do a crusade and invite all our church members, you know, we'd get a little bit more than we have here. Things have changed. Our community, a lot of it, don't know the gospel. There's a lot in our community that are so unchurched that have never met a Christian person before. Or maybe they've met one Christian person and that was their RI teacher. And that's probably only if they grew up here. If they grew up somewhere else, they probably didn't even have an RI teacher. The times have changed and the way in which we share the gospel changes, but God's message remains the same, and God wants us to be open to what God is doing today, that our hearts need to be open. There's a desire in our church to share the gospel and to work out ways to do it, but it's difficult to know how to do it in this season of the church. So in November, I'm going to be running an equip session, which will help you work out how to be effective in sharing the gospel now with your friends and families. So I don't have enough time this morning to dig deeper into that. But if you want to be a part of that, that'll come up in November. But this morning, I want you to remind you, I think this passage is a reminder for us to check where our heart is at. As I said, I'm encouraged by most of our churches open to what God is doing. But I find myself personally, it's so easy to close your eyes or to harden your hearts to what God is doing. It's an intentional, continuous thing that we need to do to keep our hearts open to what God is doing. So this morning, where's your heart at? What is your heart saying? Does it line up with the Word of God? Do you find yourself lamenting that the church isn't doing enough, or the church isn't doing what I want, or come back to see what God is doing. Celebrate the great things that God is doing in our community. And share those things with our front lines. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, the way in which you're working in our community, through our church. Lord, we pray this morning that you soften our hearts. Help us to be open to the ways in which you're working in this church and in this community today. Amen.